Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlotte Long. And on our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, he covers the NBA and the Pelicans, David Grubb. Dave, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And you got to hear Joe Dumars for the first time. And I think even though he didn't say it, I can read between the lines. It looks as though Willie Green is going to be back as the head coach of the Pelicans. And that's something you sort of echoed last week with us.
Yeah, it looks like that decision has been made. You know, Willie was there in attendance. Most of the coaching staff was there, a couple of players as well. But it appears that though Joe Dumars says he's going to evaluate the organization, one piece that's safe is Willie Green for the short term. Now, I think the question is, how long does that tenure last? Because I think, you know, you're worried that whenever you have new change and you have these things that these desires to do something different, you know, you do kind of get rid of remnants of the past. And is that setting you up for eventually having to get rid of Willie down the road? I don't know. But, you know, from the start, just like anything is on the first day, everybody's happy. Everybody's getting along. Everybody wants to be in the picture. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Dave, I think, you know, in any organization, no matter where you're at, if it's sports or in business, my thing is if you haven't been successful, I don't want your non-success in my pocket, so to speak, okay? And I might be pals with you, and I might be longtime pals with you, but I got pals of mine I don't want to be in business with, okay? So I get what you're saying, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think this is going to be a short walk, but Willie's got to win because nothing cures all the ills that you might have but winning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have no further to look than across the street, you know, for the Saints when they look at, when you look at the Saints. If Dennis Allen had won games, whether you liked him or not, he'd still be coaching the New Orleans Saints. And I think that's the case for Willie Green, is that now all of the things that we've talked about, whether people are good people or whether we like them, hey, that doesn't matter anymore. We're 4 years into this relationship. So all the fans care about, they don't care if Willie Green, you know, if you caught him on Bourbon Street every night of the week, if the Pelicans won 60 games and were in a chance to win a championship, I don't think they'd care, you know, if any of those things were transpiring. So right now it's just about winning and losing. And for Joe Dumars to come out and say that he hasn't been given, you know, told by the organization who he has to keep and what moves he has to make. Okay, well, this is a Joe Dumars. Everything that goes on is on his ledger. And I think you're right. Ultimately, is you want the ledger to be as controlled as you can make it, and not be hamstrung by other people's decisions.
Dave, one of the things is, and we can't have a clear crystal ball on this, but let's take Zion out of the picture here. What moves do you see that Joe Dumars would try to make, or maybe with positions, I should say, on the court that he will try to upgrade in the offseason?
Well, I think the two things you're looking at immediately is you need to find a point guard. because DeJounte Murray isn't going to be around until at the very least January of next season, recovering from that Achilles injury. If he comes back faster, okay, but I still wouldn't be interested in rushing a guy back from an Achilles injury. So I think you have to find a solution, at least for the short term at that spot. And then the other is you've got to get longer and more athletic in the front court. This team was terrible at interior defense. It was terrible at blocking shots. It was terrible at providing any kind of intimidation around the basket. Eve Misi was a willing competitor, but he's a young guy who needs to gain some weight. You need experience on along that back line, and you need a length and athleticism. So I think those are the two areas immediately that need his attention.
Dave, Mike and I were talking about Willie in the first segment here of the hour, and just, you know, the bad hand that he was really dealt this year, where you saw some improvement in those first couple of years, and then this past season it falls off a cliff, but then you look at the amount of injuries that the Pelicans suffered throughout the season, and a lot of fans don't want to hear it. I see it all over social media. A lot of folks were really hoping that, you know, Phoenix would go pursue him and pick him up as their next head coach, and that he would leave New Orleans, regardless of being fired or not. And I want to get your thoughts on if he deserves the quote-unquote mulligan year that it feels like the Pelicans are giving him.
I don't think, you know, in sports, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you get. And I think winning and losing is the ultimate barometer of success. And in the NBA, coaches win earlier. They don't win at all. And we've talked about this. 11 of the last 13 coaches won their championships in their first four seasons. If that's the league that you're operating in, are the Pelicans close to winning a championship today? I'd say no. Even if they were completely healthy, are you putting them amongst the top four teams in the West? I don't think you would. So to me, I don't think that you know, Willie Green not earning another opportunity with the Pelicans is not the same as saying Willie Green is a bad coach. I just don't think for this the timetable that the Pelicans are on, if you're trying to win now, if that's the goal, and I think that as long as you have Zion Williamson, that's how you have to approach this. I don't know if Willie Green is the coach for you. My ultimate question would be, every coach should give you an advantage at something. Where do you see Willie Green's advantage for your organization right now? What do you have in him that's irreplaceable? And I don't think there's anything that makes him stand out in that regard. So I think – you know, I think I'd agree with fans if they said Willie Green hasn't earned another year here. Now, if they're going to do it, then that's the situation. We just have to deal with it, and hopefully that Joe Dumars can provide them the tools to be more successful. But ultimately, if you were going to fire somebody, if you don't think they can win you a championship 2 years from now, then they can't win you a championship today. And I think that's the way you have to look at that decision.
Dave, I think, you know, we've all seen the college ranks, and you cover the college basketball ranks also, but, you know, and Cooper Flagg is who he is. But if you ended up with pick two or three, what kind of tell the fans, what would you be looking at with those early selections if you got the second pick or the third pick overall? And could you fill at least one of those two needs you brought up?
Yeah, I think you absolutely can. And I think that there are multiple players that even if you fell out of the top two, there are players that you could be happy with in this draft. So certainly Dylan Harper at that number two spot out of Rutgers, a big, athletic, strong, good decision-making guard, comes with NBA lineage. His dad, Ron Harper, obviously won championships with the Bulls and the Lakers. So he's got an NBA pedigree. And then you go down further. I think there are guys like Connor Knipple with Duke. If you fell down a little further, he gives you good decision-making on the perimeter, great size, shooting ability that you could work with, certainly something that the Pelicans need. In the front court, it's a little bit more dangerous, I think, to find a front court player. They take a little more time to mature. But I think that those perimeter players, I think, you know, at Duke, Trey Johnson, another guy who could come in and have an immediate impact for the New Orleans Pelicans. DJ Edgecombe out of Baylor is another player that could have an immediate impact. And there are others as well. Point guard, and his name is slipping my mind, out of Illinois, I think could be another player, again, that you cultivate long-term to take on that point guard role as you phase out DeJounte Murray either in the short term or you trade him immediately. So I think if there are players, I don't think losing out on the number one pick is a disaster for the Pelicans as it could be in another year in the draft. I think there are very competent players in this top 10.
No, and I agree 1,000%, David. And it feels like, you know, last year the Pelicans found a good player and Eve Misi had picked 21 in a bad draft. But this is a good draft. And so the Pelicans with the fourth best lottery odds, they're in a good position here where, yes, if you don't get Cooper Flagg, you know, it stinks a little bit because of the season that you just went through. But there's like five other teams that are saying the exact same thing. And so outside of that, there's a little bit of a drop off to Harper and then maybe another drop off. It's kind of tiered with like Edgecombe and Bailey, but then other guys like Derek Queen from Maryland or Kamen Malawach from Duke as well. There's some good prospects basically in the top 7 or 8-ish picks. So it's not the end of the world if the Pelicans really fall out of those top two, as you mentioned with Flagg and Harper. They're going to get a stud, it feels like, at the top of this draft because it's such a good draft.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, obviously there are people who look at Joe Dumars and say, he's had top 5 picks and messed them up. And I'll think about Darko Milicic. But I think, you know, that was, again, a team drafting for need rather than taking the best player available at that time. And now there's less of a desire to do that where we are with players. Everybody's taking the best potential possible on the board. And there are a lot of good potential players. I think the most important thing going into the draft for the Pelicans, deciding what direction that they're going to go in. If you are in a rebuild, tell people early, get on that program, make the trades you need to make to get into a rebuild and start building around that player. If you do get a Cooper Flagg or a Dylan Harper, okay, let's rebuild around this young man. If you're going to try to be a champion and you finish in the top 5 and you get a pick there, then find that player who's going to fit in and help bolster your team immediately. And then I think that there are also plenty of deals to be made. You can move on from a C.J. McCollum now as a veteran going into his last year of his contract, who certainly doesn't want to be a part of any rebuilds at age 35. That's not in his best interest. So I think you start moving on from those types of players and filling out this roster. It can be done. I don't want people to think that things are dour and sad for the Pelicans. It's just that they're really hard, and hard decisions have to be made.
David, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, I always enjoy when you're on. And one more thing before you leave. Boy, was Kawhi something last night, wasn't he?
Ooh-wee. Oh, my God. Turn back the clock.
Man.
Kawhi Leonard.
Ooh,
my goodness.
Man.
His ability to dominate at all three levels, get to the bucket, shoot the mid-range, shoot the three, and defend. When he's healthy, how many players terrorize the league as well as Kawhi Leonard?
Mm. Well, that list is real short, Dave. I can tell you, real short. David, thanks so much for joining us, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
All righty. David Grubb, who covers the NBA and the Pelicans, and Kawhi Leonard put on a performance last night that I couldn't take the TV off. I knew the Clippers were going to win this game, but I just continued to watch it and to see him hit shot after shot after shot.
And
I'm like, good gracious.
Mike, he's taking like a contested three with two guys in his face. Like, they were throwing doubles at him the whole time, and he kept making them. I'll talk about Kawhi, I think, for triple option today. That was an unbelievable performance last night.
Yeah, he was like a dude on the side of the beach trying to hit the ocean. Everything fell in. Everything fell in.